Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from www.englishwithkirsty.com. Here I'll be sharing with you tips, information and other learning resources so that you can improve your business English. And welcome to this special episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. Today we're here because we are having the celebration for English with Kirsty's 10th birthday. And I wanted to bring to you some voices of the people who are here and let you hear what they have to ask. So some people have questions that I know about, some people have questions that I don't know about. And we're just gonna go through them and find out what they want to know. So the first person with a question is Jane. So what is your question, Jane?
Hi, Kirsty. My question is, what would you say to somebody who's thinking about starting a podcast, asking for a friend?
I think you should absolutely start a podcast, Jane. I think that'd be good. No, I would say do it. I mean, if you think that you have something that you want to talk about, if you're interested in this, you'll never know unless you try. I think there are some things that you can do to make it easier for yourself. Like, there are some things to learn, and there are nowadays there are plenty more people who can help you to start a podcast than there was 10 years ago when I was starting. But you know, ask for help if you need it with the more technical things. But really, it's not so difficult, and it doesn't have to be finished at the beginning. You know, you can learn as you go along. You might not start with the best microphone, you might buy a better one, but you know, the best way is to start to think about the ideas that you have, what you want to share. Because podcasting is a really good way to get in touch with new people, to share ideas and to have amazing conversations. So if anyone is thinking about it, don't listen to all the reasons why you shouldn't, but, you know, think about what you have that you want to share. Make sure you have an idea for a topic and why you want to do that. But then try it, because it's the worst that can happen.
Lovely. Very positive answer. Thank you very much.
Oh, I'm still here after 10 years, so I have to give a positive answer, because if Absolutely. I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't be doing it anymore.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. The next person here with a question is Marina. What's your question?
Oh, hello. Yeah. So, oh my gosh, after 10 years, how has your podcast changed over the last 10 years? What's different about it today?
I don't recommend that you go and look at the first episodes from 10 years ago. They are not my best. But I'm happy that I have changed, that I have developed. I think it's important to start, like I said earlier, and then you learn as you're going along. But I think I've changed. I'm not the person I was 10 years ago, and the kind of content that I create is different as well, because I feel more comfortable now with who I want to be, how I want to be working, the kind of people that I want to be working with. And that has influenced my choice of topics for the podcast. So you'll see now a lot more discussions about, you know, working with languages, stories of people working in multilingual settings, and more information about freelancers and about communicating effectively, because I took a break. I can't remember exactly when it was, but sometime before the lockdown, and I was feeling a bit, it just wasn't exciting me anymore making the podcast. And I realized that podcasting in itself wasn't boring me, but the kind of content that I was creating, more kind of generic learning English content at a level that's probably below the level that most of my clients need, was not exciting me anymore. And there's a lot of that kind of stuff on the internet. So then I thought, okay, what do I want to do? What is going to bring me back to wanting to record new episodes? And I thought, okay, well, then I'll have conversations with people that I find interesting, and hopefully other people will find interesting as well. And since I made that decision, I've been doing it more regularly. So I think the biggest change is that now the podcast is a better reflection of the work that I'm doing and the ways in which I can hopefully help my clients. Okay, and so thank you for your question.
Thanks. And that was very interesting and encouraging for people that want to start their own podcast. It's like, you got to be in it for the long haul.
I hope to see a bunch of new podcasts coming from this today. Okay, Lisa, you have a question.
Yeah, first of all, it's amazing that you've kept consistent with your podcast, because I know many people start and then they just, you know, abandon the project. So Congratulations. And
Thank
as you already said, you evolved a lot during the last years, but what are your future plans for the podcast? What can we expect from you?
Well, you can expect the rest of my 10 parts of how different ways that we can look at learning, because I've only got to number five or six. The original plan was to finish that by the podcast birthday party, but people's availability and has meant that that will be a project for 2025. So there's the rest of that series to come. And I'm also planning to speak with people about topics that I don't know anything about. A lot of what I've done has been, me sharing information or me speaking with people about things that I know. And I want to kind of branch out into other topics, other areas that are to do with language and our use of language or how we learn languages, but maybe areas that I don't know so much about. So it would be interviewing people, but also continuing with stories, because people seem to respond well to stories, what other people have learned, how they developed, and how they're using language. So some things will stay the same. Some things I have plans to talk about, new topics that I don't know very much about. But I think the podcast, for now at least, will be going on in the same way that it has been for the last maybe 2 years since I really started rebranding what I do. But also I'm open to exciting new opportunities and guests and people I haven't met yet. So I want to be a bit more spontaneous as well.
Well, that sounds quite intriguing, and I'm very much looking forward to it.
Thank you. And so our next question is someone from Team Translator, but I'm not sure who. Who's it
It's
going
going to be me, me,
to
Kelsey. Well, so it's so clear the passion that you have for podcasting and for learning language and everything, but I don't know what your favorite thing about podcasting is.
Ooh, that's hard. I would say my favorite thing about podcasting is the people, like the conversations, either the conversations because I'm interviewing people and maybe having conversations that I wouldn't be able to have if I didn't have this platform. But also the conversations with people who are listening and who get in touch with me and I get to know them. So I would say I'm here for the people because I love interesting conversations. I love learning, and I hope that people can learn something from what I'm doing as well. But every time I make an episode with someone else, I learn something as well. So I'm really grateful for this opportunity to keep learning stuff.
That's great. It's like built-in CPD.
Yeah, I don't even have to try. Okay, thank you. Okay, let's have a look at see if we've got any questions. Tanya, you have a question.
Yes. So during your 10 years of podcasting, and that's 280 episodes, right?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot of episodes. Have you ever had any major fails? So whether they be technology fails or for some reason you haven't been able to use a particular episode. Give
I
us the
guess.
juicy
Yeah,
details.
the biggest fail was when Apple Podcasts, when my feed was removed from Apple Podcasts and I lost all the subscribers. It was, yeah, it was a mistake. It wasn't my mistake, but it was a mistake that happened.
Oh, what did you do?
I got it back, but I don't know if I got all of the subscribers back, but I just have to believe that the right ones stayed and new ones will come because it wasn't intentional. So, keep building from there. But from in terms of technical things, I've had a recording that didn't record and we had to re-record the whole episode, or I had someone with like a really terrible background sound that I didn't hear at the time, but it was picked up on the recording, and so we tried to reduce it and just I think we were just honest and said, like, there are the sound quality isn't quite as good as we would like, but this is good content, because it wasn't unusable. It's just making that call, like, can we go with this, or do we have to do it again? So I guess what I've learned is it's not about not having any technical disasters. It's about how you deal with them, about being honest with people. And the one time when I had to completely re-record an episode, the person who did it was so nice about it. And she said, yeah, it happens to anyone. So I think it would have been far worse if I'd just not put that episode out. And she'd always been wondering what happened to her episode.
Absolutely. Yeah. Great. Thanks.
Okay. Rita, you're next.
Hi everyone. Hi Kirsty. Hi again. So, how has the podcast impacted your business and your social media, meaning public life? Thank you.
I think I've learned that, being more true to yourself and creating the kind of content that reflects your business has been good for me, not necessarily in the numbers, because if you're creating something very general, the numbers can be a bit higher. And then when you become more of a niche podcast, maybe you maybe don't have the same number of followers, but you have people who are more engaged. So I have a lot more interactions with people who are listening to the podcast. And to be fair, I've found clients through it too. Not as many who just, I mean, I have had a couple of people send me a message and say, I've heard your podcast and now I want to be your customer. That is nice when that happens. It tends to be more though that they then start following me on social media or maybe come to one of my free events or to the club or something like that. And then some of those people begin to work with me afterwards. So as if you mean as part of the content marketing strategy, then it definitely does work. It's not my main source of new clients, but it's a way for people to get to know me and find out what I'm doing and what kind of a person I am and decide whether that's relevant or interesting for them. So it's not just something I'm doing because it's fun, although I do talk about how much fun I'm having. It is also something that is relevant. And I think for me, it's relevant because it's the kind of content that I want to create. I think it's good to have a social media presence, especially if you're the face of your business, but it's also important to be creating content that makes sense for you and is something that you actually want to create. And fortunately for me, podcasting has ticked both of those boxes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Megan.
So, Kirsty, I have been wanting to know, podcasting can be a very big lift, meaning a lot of work. Do you have any tips to ride the waves of motivation that happen after 280 episodes of kind of creating this content and having fun with it? What do you do when it ceases to be fun?
I think it's important to see why it's not fun. Like if it's not fun because I'm exhausted and I need a break, then have a break. Because if you're really tired, sometimes all you can do is just the core work that you have to do. But I think, as I mentioned before, if it's like you're not enjoying the content, your own content anymore, there's a reason to ask like why. Is it because I just this is done what it was there for and it's time to move on, or is it that I want to make a change and I want to change the content, do something differently? But I think in terms of more day-to-day stuff, it is good to have systems. I know some people don't like systems and that's fine for them, but I find that having like a way of doing things that I do the same thing every time, like when something needs to be uploaded, that I follow these steps. And this is the quickest way for me to do it, like to kind of build out your own systems that work for you. I also split up what I'm doing. So I do the editing on one day and the creating the post and the web page on another day. Some people might like to batch the entire thing together, but I find that the breaking into smaller chunks works better for me to fit it in with everything else I have to do. So I don't think there is one system or one right process that works for everyone, but I think it's good to see how you work and how you can work most efficiently. I mean, some people like to batch record a bunch of episodes. I don't, but because I'm trying to coordinate so many people's schedules, that doesn't make sense. But yeah, find out what works for you. And if you're not feeling good about something, try and sit with yourself and find out why, rather than just pushing through, because you might find the answer and then it'll be easier to find the right answer.
Thank you, Life Coach Kirsty. I love
Thank
it.
you for your question. Okay, Diego, you have a question?
Sorry, I was mute.
Yeah.
Yeah, my question, oops. My question is pretty much related to what you were replying to Megan. And so how much time on average do you spend producing an episode besides the recording itself. So coming up with questions, trying to identify a suitable guest, and then editing the episode. And how has that average time changed along with the 10 years of your podcast?
I think it's actually decreased because I edit less now than I did at the beginning, because I really feel that I want to have real conversations with people, and maybe there is a pause. It's not the end of the world. I know some people edit out every second of unused space or every hesitation. And I, because there's so much more content that isn't being created by humans in our feeds, I want it to feel very much like just a normal conversation that we had. So in terms of the editing, I do check through, I do listen to things, I do make sure that everything recorded properly, but I probably edit less than I did before. And also in terms of the questions, I some people don't feel comfortable if they don't know what I'm going to ask them. So I will give them questions, but now I'm a lot more open to seeing where the conversation goes. So again, I spend less time doing that, but I feel that some of the conversations are better quality because they weren't so scripted. You know, we see what people actually say, and then I can ask follow-up questions that are more meaningful, perhaps, because they're based on what the person said rather than what I think they're going to say. So I always have a reason for having someone on the podcast and a topic that I want us to discuss, because I feel like I have a kind of gatekeeping role to make sure that it's relevant for my audience. But at the same time, I think it's really good to go with the flow a bit more and see where it goes. So your question, I can't exactly put a figure on it because some things take longer than others depending on how long the episode is. But I would say that as time has gone on, I've relaxed more, and some of the tasks that I thought were essential at the beginning are not getting done now. And I'm happy with the results.
Great, thank you.
Okay, thanks for your question. Jen?
Well, this is a light-hearted question, so take it in the spirit that it's meant. Now, obviously, you have international guests, you have an international audience. Has anything ever got lost in translation, gone off piste? You've asked a question and somebody's run with something, you're thinking, oh no, that's not the direction it was going in, or somebody has misunderstood and you've had to work like bananas to try and get it back. Just any sort of funny moments where, you know, perhaps the intention hasn't gelled, so to speak.
I don't think so. I'd love to have a good story there, but I know. I mean, if anything went really badly, I would edit it out. But no, I don't think we've ever had any such a mismatch where somebody like just didn't answer the question.
Yeah.
I think I've been lucky, but who knows what will happen in the future.
Well, I mean, 10 years down, here's to the next 10, and let's see what happens. But yeah, it's always fun when you think that you know, sometimes with the best of interviews and things, you might ask a question and somebody runs in a different direction. You're thinking, cracky, how am I gonna bring this back? Because that's not quite what I meant. But you know, kudos to you, you know, 10 years down the line, and it looks like you've got a clean bill of health on that one. So
I guess I'm lucky it's not live on. If it was live, then that like if you're streaming live to YouTube or something, it would be harder.
Well, it would be good to see the blooper reel. We'd like to see that sometime. That would be cool.
Actually, I have been a guest on someone else's podcast, and I got a live question about how long it takes when you do as little work as possible, and I just thought, what? How do I answer that question politely? So yeah, that has
Yeah.
happened, but I guess that's kind of why I'm happy not to be doing live podcast recording.
Sure, thank you for that.
Okay, Tanya?
Yep, me again. I just wanted to go back to something you were saying to Diego about how you prefer your podcast's episodes not to be scripted. And having been on your podcast and enjoyed it thoroughly, I wanted to say that that really came across. So it really felt to me that you were listening to what I was saying and that your following questions were coming off what I said. I think I've heard some podcasts, not mentioning any names, obviously, where it does seem to be just asking one question after another and not really deeply listening to the answers. So, well
Yeah.
done. You've achieved
Thank you.
your goal, and I love being on your podcast. So, thank you.
Oh, I'm really glad you enjoyed the experience, and I think it's true. Nobody wants to feel that they're not being listened to. And I don't think that I don't really enjoy that format of podcast, so I want to create something that I would also want to listen to. So
Yeah.
thank you for that feedback. And Lisa.
Yeah, I have another question. What was your favorite episode, or rather, podcast topic you had?
Oh, that is really hard because I've had so many amazing guests. I don't know. I don't have a favorite. I have many, many favorites, and I also like to see people coming back. I think that makes me feel really good when I can kind of see how someone's journey has continued and they've come back and they, you know, they were a guest and then they come back and we talk about what else has happened for them, so I can kind of see that journey. I think I really enjoy. I've had guests with some of guests. I've had podcasts with some of my clients who were, maybe couldn't imagine being on a podcast and then did it and enjoyed it, and that makes me happy. So it doesn't even have to be my clients. There are people that weren't my clients as well who've said that they hadn't been on a podcast before and weren't sure if they wanted to do it, and then they did it and enjoyed the experience. So that makes me feel good as well, because then I know that they'll probably go on to do other ones. So it's not a really good answer to your question, but there are lots of things that I enjoy.
Well, it was a better one than I expected, so it was really nice to see that you rather enjoy like speaking to the people and follow them on their journey and see like how they grow, like from not being sure to be on a podcast to then like be on it and actually enjoyed it. That's nice.
Yeah, that makes me feel good. But it's because it's then you don't know where it will go from there for them as well. So yeah, thank you for the question. And I think that's all the questions. Or did I miss anyone?
Hi, I have a question. It's
Okay.
Marina. So it's great to hear all this detailed information and the process and going through and creating your podcast. Kirsty, again, happy 10 years. And my additional question is from those who have been on your podcast, how has your Kirsty's English podcast improved your work and exposure as a social media? Or on your social media as a guest, because Kirsty, I don't know if you're aware of it, but you've actually helped so many people not only learning English, but raising their own profiles because you've been so kind to have them on your show. So Megan said, having the chance to meet awesome fellow language nerds and language lovers, I asked this question in chat. And then Jane said, it gave me confidence because recording with Kirsty felt very friendly and safe. I'm just curious, others who have been on our show, what has it done for you?
I can answer that, Marina. So I don't know because you never know who's listening. But I've put it up on my website. And, I think if somebody can, rather than just seeing words on a digital page, if they can hear you speaking to somebody and talking about yourself, then it adds credibility. And you never know. You never know who's looking at it, who's listening to it. And there might be someone who thinks, yeah, she sounds really good, or he sounds really good. I'm going to get in touch. I think it's just an extra thing to market yourself.
Just to see how you're improving the lives and work flows of so many people.
That's why I do what I do. I feel really happy and I'm really, yes. And there's another comment in the chat. Could somebody read about this?
Oh, I'll read this because I think it's in reply to my question. So Maria says, it happened to me too. It felt comfortable and natural, like chatting with a friend.
That's
How
really
nice.
nice. That's what I want.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay. Two more people. Okay, Anya first.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's for me, it was not so much about the podcast, but Kirsty reached out to me, oh, 3 years ago or something, quite a while
Jeez.
actually. And it was then via Xing, I think, like the German platform, social media platform. And it gave me actually some ideas how to interact with people on those platforms. So that was, yeah, she was one of the first language colleagues in the internet. Yeah, so it was really like a gatekeeper or something, you could say. You could kind of showed me how you can, as I said, you can interact with people. And yeah, that was a nice inspiration, actually.
I'm glad. I love talking to people. I randomly talk to people and see if they want to talk back. And then, yeah, you never know what kind of collaborations will come
Yeah,
from that
exactly. So it was
activity.
really nice. Yeah. Thank
Great.
you.
Thank you. And Marta.
Well, for me, it was like Jane said, it gave me confidence because it felt so safe and friendly. So I said, okay. And it was a great motivation to fresh up my English, you know, to know in 4 weeks' time we are going to record this one. And I still remember we said, or I said, well, we will record it, and if I'm not happy with it, we'll give it another round. And in the end, it was so good. It was a great experience. So thank you for that too.
And we didn't delete anything. We used what we recorded, so the option was there, but what we did was actually good. So that's why we used it. So it worked out
Yeah,
well.
good enough. Yeah, thank you, Kirsty.
Okay, I think that's everyone. And so yeah, thank you for everyone. We had some questions that were prepared in advance, and I thought I'm gonna start with those in case nobody has anything to ask. But I was actually surprised how many questions we got. So thank you, everyone, and I hope you enjoy more episodes of the English with Kirsty podcast.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.